Good morning and welcome to the February 13th edition of Byers & Company. Dan Oakes from the District 61 Board of Education, plus Matthew Frost, principal of Stephen Decatur High School, will be in to talk about the new middle school for District 61. Plus, we'll check in on the Greater Decatur Black Chamber of Commerce and their Black History Gala. All of that starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Wednesday, hump day. I'll be out for the next couple of days. Kevin Berhaney will be sitting in the studios Thursday and Friday. Would you please be nice to Kevin? He tells me that you're awfully domineering while he's in doing the show.
Domineering. See, you just used a word.
I know.
You just used one of the words.
I intentionally did that.
Am I a shrew?
No, I said domineering. I used a male descriptor. Yes. Not shrew. Domineering.
Does he really say that?
No.
But man, I was like, it was really kind of concerned.
No, you are a little bossier with him. It's okay. You've got to just stay on him.
Stay on him. That's all.
All right. Anyway, he'll be in the next 2 days. I'll be in Nashville for a...
Domineering.
I
a blockhead.
How long? 5.5 hour drive to Nashville?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of dreading that, to be honest with you. But I like Nashville. Nashville's a fun place.
Yeah.
But I'm not a country music fan, so I feel like it's sort of...
Wasted on you?
No. It definitely is. There's this Garth Brooks thing tonight. I can't decide whether I'm going to go to it.
That sounds exciting. I'd go to that.
Okay. A lot of people would. I mean, there's no doubt. I am in the small
Every
number.
Time we've gone to these, because country music, very big in Nashville, obviously, and a lot of it with the radio industry, a lot of the that we work with.
That's what this is. This is a whole big conference in and around country music, but I was asked to be on a panel.
But writers and the artists and the different guilds that represent them, a lot of it in the radio industry.
Traffic's horrible there, because there's musicians that are down there trying to become
But every time
famous.
We've gone to everything from radio shows or when you've had speaking engagements and everything else, they've always had country artists, and you've always liked them.
Oh, I think they're good.
There was a lady from Lady Antebellum or whatever.
I just like
a private thing for us.
Country when it was like country western. That's a long time ago.
I mean,
I like actual
the
classic.
Hipster country, basically.
It's not hipster. The hipsters didn't steal country western.
I was country before it was
country. You could play Johnny Cash or that kind of stuff, and I really enjoy that. I don't like today's pop music with a violin thing, is what I'm saying. Not that that's Garth Brooks. Anyway, I haven't decided yet about that. I'll let you know.
Okay.
We'll touch base. All right, so last night, an important meeting with the Board of Education for District 61, and we've Dan Oakes has been kind enough to agree to come in and break down these meetings for us and whenever he can, and then, of course, Beth and all the rest of the board welcome as well. Last night was a big deal for middle school students in District 61. Walk us back to the beginning of this, sort of how all of this started, because we tend to focus on how we got there and not all the work that was put into getting there, but... When did this conversation start about reimagining what middle school looks like in District 61?
It actually started with the change in the facility, about the idea of putting the two together to get continuity of instruction and being able to provide things for one big group that we couldn't provide for two. And it kind of went back to the facilities program for that. And then it's just kind of morphed with Matt's help and Josh and a number of the other people that have taken this on as a project, and I think they've done a cutting-edge job.
It's okay.
Fantastic stuff.
All right, so how long a process was this?
Well, about the time you got here. So it's been well over a year.
Well, Dan is joined by Matthew. Is it Matthew or Matt?
Matt is fine, yeah.
Okay, Matt Frost, who's the principal of Stephen Decatur. Now, for those of you who just moved here, this is going to be the most confusing conversation ever, because Stephen Decatur was at one time a high school, is now a middle school, and now is going to be the only middle school.
Yes.
And so sizing and space, that certainly makes sense. The school that was built to be a high school has the room.
Yeah, originally I think the capacity for Stephen Decatur was like 1,400 kids.
Wow. We thought about that many kids in one place in a high school when there were four?
Yeah, well, capacity, not occupancy. But a lot of that, when you start changing rooms and you put in labs and everything else, the capacity goes down. But I think you could easily handle 1,100 if you had to.
Yeah, I think that's true. And right now we're looking at, as we talk programming
Get
in
a little
space.
Closer there, Matt, if you don't mind. Sorry.
As we talk programming in space, about 900 is kind of what we're planning for.
Okay, is that what we have then, a number of middle school kids out of the 9,000 or so plus District 61 students, about 900 or around 1,000 are middle school age?
Right, yeah. As we, and with the K-8 programs that have some middle school programming as well, that as we look at the middle school for Stephen Decatur next year, we're looking at about 840 kids.
Okay. Now, this academy approach makes sense to me, too, right?
Yes.
Am I just getting old? I mean, it seems like what you guys are doing makes a lot more sense to me than what's been done over the last 20 or 30 years as far as really preparing kids for the world that is out there versus this sort of theory of education that they'll just find their way. I mean, it seems like a more common sense, practical approach to educating kids.
Well, I think this goes back when we started with the academies at the high school, when we had the buildings redone, and we've had success with that. It only makes sense then to back up one grade level or two grade levels to the middle school, institute the same type program. So when the kid comes out of sixth grade for the next 5-6 years, however they're in school, they're going to see basically the same approach to education.
Well, the consistency certainly makes sense. But I'm talking more about the jobs that are out there and the path that's out there. I mean, you know, right now, we're going to get into we're in an election year. You got school board, you got the mayor, you got all of this, and everybody's going to talk about jobs. And I've yet to meet an anti-job candidate. First of all, they're all pro-job, but we've got 1,100 jobs here in Macon County. They can't fill because people don't have the skill set or the path to those jobs. And those are not all minimum wage jobs. Some of those are very good paying jobs. Yet when I look at the academies you're talking about, you look at something that would be an ag academy, a public service academy. I mean, there's such huge shortages in nursing and other areas. If you look to the IBEW, their average age of workers is like 47 years old, and there's no pipeline of kids coming in. Does this just make sense from a board level, and then we'll talk about it from an education level, to get kids prepared for the world?
Sure, and it's the best usage of what assets we have. So we're taking what limited money and resources we have and funneling into what would be the best thing for the kids for the future at an early age. And Matt made a conversation last night about the kid would have the opportunity to look at something in middle school for a year or two. And if he decided he didn't like public service and wanted to switch to ag, we've got the Ag Academy at the high school. So there's opportunities out there for these kids.
Well, it's amazing. Every time you have this conversation, I'll get feedback. You know, some people on both sides of the aisle, I'm not saying that a college degree or an advanced college degree isn't for a lot of kids, but there are other paths. And it felt like for me, for a long time, public education was saying, no, 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 you must go get a four-year degree, even if it's in a field that there's really not a lot of jobs. And spend a couple of $100,000 in student debt to get a $30,000 a year job. Didn't make any sense to me at all. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that is true. I think that we were so focused on getting kids ready for college that we neglected some of the other wonderful ways to make a living that didn't necessarily have to have the degree. But yeah, the training programs, the certificated programs that we can prepare kids for and give them experience and opportunities to kind of dabble in those things before they have to make those decisions and it's too late.
Okay, so what will this look like then? Somebody who's going to enroll, this will be fall of this year?
Yes.
Okay, so kids who are, you know, coming out of the sixth grade, you know, entering middle school, how will the parents find out about these academies? How do people find out about PAS? I mean, how do you do all this? And it's a very short turnaround.
Well, starting on Tuesday,
okay,
Stephen Decatur's having an open house for the parents of, and I should let you handle that one.
Sure, yeah. We have scheduled on Tuesday evening from 6 to 7:30 an open house for all current sixth grade students and families, all current seventh grade students and families, because it'll be different for them too, their experience next year.
Sure, halfway graders. Through, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we are going to introduce the academies. We're going to introduce all the elective choices that we've added to our course offerings. We're going to give them sort of an idea of what those all look like and how they interplay. And then let those families start having discussions about, well, am I interested in the Ag Academy? Am I more interested in a STEAM field? And do I want to experience those careers and what's going on in that?
And explain a STEAM field, please.
Sure. STEAM would be science, technology, engineering, arts, and math.
Okay.
So looking
at... See, we've added an
those,
A in there. See, we was STEM right. for years, so now
yeah,
STEAM.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
The arts. Okay.
Progress.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And part of that is as we look at the career pathways that we want students to be exposed to, starting in the middle school, then adding that A to the STEAM creates those opportunities for kids to have those experiences as well.
Well, I think this is brilliant. What's the feedback you're getting from folks?
We have had no negative feedback. And as a matter of fact, it was an interesting thing last night. Matt handed out a course catalog for middle school. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Never saw it. And there are more electives in there than you could imagine for the kid that's going to be in seventh grade.
Well, why not get kids inspired and get them pointed towards a goal, you know, early on? I mean, I'm all for overall, you know, rounded education. And you need to, the arts. I mean, it's an important part of life. But, it, you know, if you can get a young kid interested in being a police officer or a nurse or, you know, or a food scientist or whatever that may be under the umbrella of education, the quicker you spark that interest, the better it is, right? I mean, they go into high school with a direction rather than sort of waiting around to find out. I mean, I'm still amazed at how many kids are walking around 17, 18 years old still trying to figure out what it is they want to pursue. Why not start them earlier?
Well, if you don't give them a nudge and give them the opportunity to look at different things, you're exactly right. They're going to be sitting there out of high school and have no idea what they want in a life or a job or career or whatever.
Okay, so how did the board feel about this last night? The
board thought it was great.
Yeah.
We have tried, since the new board came in the last 2 years, to look at things a little different, to look at innovation more, changing business as usual to what makes sense for kids. And this is reflected in the alternative ed program, which was approved last night and will be implemented in the fall. The middle school program, and it even goes back to the high school programs where we started out with this academy process, and it's filtered down, and we've had feedback and experience that we can use for Matt at that level. So I think if you're not different these days, you're going to get left behind.
Well, I think for sure. You know, the problems that any large public school system has is that you're responsible for all 9,000 of those kids that get dropped at your doorstep every day, no matter what their home life is like or what, you know. So there's a lot of extra stuff you deal with. You can't sort of weed out or just go for this type of student. You got to educate everyone. But if you look at the vast majority of those kids that hopefully go all the way through the 12 years and graduate from District 61, most of those are going to stay here.
Yes.
You know, some kids are going to go and get advanced degrees and go write their ticket and do whatever they want. But the vast majority of those kids are going to be in Decatur. Finally, it seems like District 61 is empowering those kids towards careers that are available here, not putting a square peg in a round box. These are actual opportunities that exist. I guarantee the Macon County Sheriff's Office, the Decatur Police Department, HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, DMH, ADM, Tate and Lyle will tell you that these fields are all careers that kids can stay here and raise families on.
And that's part of the feedback we got even before we got into this, that the need exists. So we need to find a way to fill that need. And it's going to take us a while to get these kids all the way through the program. But once it starts, I think it's going to be phenomenal.
All right. I was trying to remember. Lindsay, do you have any recollections of junior high? I remember, like, your first locker, right? That was a big deal.
I remember.
You had to go to different classes.
Yes, I went to Forsyth Grade School and then had to then, it was my first time, I had to go, like, on a bus to Moroa. And there was Moroa Forsyth Junior High. And it was the first time I had to change classes and all of that. So whenever our guy went into Johns Hill, I was so thrilled because he was going to be able to kind of have that transition from a K to 8 where he wouldn't be doing the – and then I worried when he got into high school, how is he going to handle this? He was fine.
Yeah. Well, junior high today, I mean, it's in many ways, we like to exaggerate how times have changed. I mean, it's pretty much the same, isn't it, with kids?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. How many teachers do you have there?
We are at about 40 staff in the building.
And how important is, and I don't want you to pat yourself on the back, but leadership's important. I mean, Dan, you see this, right? But the 6 years I was on the Decatur Public Schools Foundation board, right, we had the conversation about rewarding the same teachers of the same schools over and over with money because they applied more than others. You could see dark spots. I don't know if you remember Donald Rumsfeld had that map behind his desk, you know, showed North Korea with no lights at home. Can you not see that from a 30,000-foot view of some of your schools? I mean, where the culture is clearly working top down and bottom up, you know, where there's just a different leadership team and they're doing things that are really working well. And why not sort of model after that and reward that? I feel like for some time people were punishing dentists because they thought they were getting too much.
Well, and this goes back to the facilities plan, because when you look at what we're doing with Johns Hill, Johns Hill is a proven program. It's an effective program. It's been good for the community. It's been good for the neighborhood. The new Johns Hill will be back in the neighborhood, expanded to allow more kids into it. The same thing with Dennis and French, teaming them together to expand a good program into potentially a better one, moving the Montessoris from two into one. A lot of things make sense to do. And I think as we're pulling in more kids, we're creating new leaders and new, almost if you will, professional teachers that are taking things to the next level so that everybody's getting the best there is.
All right, talk to me about the fiscal interest in this, because it seems to me that, you know, I know Rahm Emanuel had to make tough decisions up in Chicago, and thankfully we don't have the problems here they do, because it meant like literally crossing gang territory where it was dangerous for kids, even though it made sense to consolidate buildings based on your population of students. We don't have to deal with that. But you do have territorial or just history and past, and sure, people love their buildings or their schools. But it makes, on a fiscal sense, this makes a lot of sense to sort of consolidate and use the buildings and the space you have to get the biggest bang for the buck.
Well, and we looked, when we started with the elementaries, most of those schools are around 250 kids. You combine two schools, now we have a 500-kid building. We've centralized transportation. We've centralized teachers. We have some ability to adjust class size, which may cut down on the number of teachers we have to hire or the number of substitutes we have to bring in. So from that standpoint, we have continuity of education for the kids. And it gives us a cost savings of probably, I think they're talking between $1.5 and $2 million a year by closing some of these buildings.
All right, what about classroom size? That used to be a big topic. I don't hear it as much anymore. What is the optimum number of kids to teacher?
Yeah, as we've been doing the planning for next year, we're looking at staffing and classroom space for no more than 25 kids in a class.
Okay, that's pretty good,
yeah,
right?
Very typical and yeah, very manageable, and something that, you know, even in today's classrooms, we're running between 20 and 25 in most classrooms.
Well, it is a great job. I just think this makes all the sense in the world. And you've got a five-year sort of plan underway.
Yes.
What happens next? I mean, I know this has to all be implemented, but what's next on the table?
Well, we've got two Montessori buildings to put together. We have the construction programs that'll be going on probably, I think it's probably 2 years down the road. So there's still a lot of irons in the fire, and in the strategic plan being a living document, we're just going to keep it 5 years rolling.
Right.
So we'll be looking at what is next on the horizon 3 or 4 years down the road.
What's the latest conversation on the high schools? I know there was some, Dr. Frigo caused a few waves, you know, with comments. You wouldn't be looking at closing either one of them. You just might be looking at using them in a different way.
Yeah, and that would be the discussions held. You can't put all the kids in one building. There's not room.
Yeah.
They won't fit. There's parking issues.
And that was decided by the community, by the way. If you remember, yes, when that construction project was done, it was put to the voters. You know, do you want to see one high school? Do you want to see one new high school? Do you want to see two renovated high schools? And the people said they wanted the two schools.
At this point in time, I would say they're probably pretty much on the back burner. We've got the elementary side to take care of, the Montessori side, and the new construction. So our plate's kind of full for few months.
But I like the fact that you're keeping a mind open to sort of reimagining things. And that's sometimes with bureaucracy, you know, it doesn't sort of, it gets stuck in its ways very easy.
Yeah, we've determined that the best thing to do is have an open mind and listen to what our educators are telling us, because they're the professionals.
All right, Dan, we appreciate you coming in. Matt Frass, the principal of Stephen Decatur, congratulations on a great meeting last night and a great plan. We'll see and look forward to August and see how it all works. Still going to do the Running Reds, right?
Yeah, at this point, that is the plan.
Yeah, we're not going to change names this week.
No, see, that's what gets everybody.
That's what
there you go, get your negativity. All right,
great stuff. We're not going there.
Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Today we've got mostly cloudy skies, highs near 36 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy and lows around 33. Thursday, 20% chance of rain in the afternoon, cloudy and highs near 50. And Friday, 30% chance we could see some snow in the afternoon, partly sunny and highs near 27 degrees. It is 20 degrees in downtown Decatur. Hey, it's Lindsay Romano. You may already know that Babbage Medical Spa on North Monroe has a ton of services.